Y'all, sissies, we are excited. We got some hot tea with a hot star of Access Hollywood, the host extraordinaire, Scott Evans, is here today, y'all.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
You are the most famous person we've ever talked to, period.
This is not true. This is certainly not true. This is not true. While I do appreciate the love, I already know that's the bullshit.
Maybe the Hollywood medium or the Long Island medium.
Teresa Caputo.
It's in the middle of, it's between you and Teresa Caputo.
I'm going to tell you right now, Teresa, there's something about even evoking her name outside of her presence. I feel like she's talking back to us right now. Do you know what I mean? Like, yes. she's giving me a reading, and in the middle of the reading, she was like, uh-uh, this is not for you. It's for you. And I was like, oh my God, I gotta go. I gotta get out of this room.
He was incredible.
Girl, I gotta go.
She was beyond, and her wisdom is as high as her hair.
Yes,
we love her.
True that.
We love her.
You almost don't even recognize her without blonde fan, lion's mane kind of thing. I've seen her one time without it, and she was like, hey, and I was like, I have no idea who you are.
Bitch.
I'm so sorry. Hi. She's like,
hi.
It's me, Teresa Caputo. Oh my God, girl, how you doing? I didn't recognize you without you,
got your wig off.
That's a cool animal up there. Yeah.
So we have you here today because, yes, I mean, I can go into my Southern grandma mode and ask you questions like, are you and Kit really best friends? Because I love watching y'all talk.
We really are.
Yeah,
we really are.
Or do you have thoughts about having dance-offs with Mario Lopez to see who would to compete with?
I'm going to tell you right now, I if you're asking me to dance off with Mario Lopez, it's a no-brainer. Like, the dude is too serious about it. Like, he's so... For real, like he and his family with the choreography,
it's a lot.
In the hallway, like I there's no way I can compete. I can't 5, 6, 7, 8 like that. I'm a freestyler. You know what I mean?
Yeah, feeling.
You know, he's got the Broadway situation. His wife is like an incredible performer. Ain't no way. I know my lane.
You're lying. But you do have a good Instagram, though. Your Instagram has brought me a lot of joy. It's very funny. So
I appreciate that. That was the whole point and purpose of kind of our redirection, was that there was so much bad news out there. There is so much grim news out there. And I'm certainly not saying that we need to be ignorant of it and that we don't need to have an awareness of what's happening in our world. But certainly I just felt like, yes, I could do more of that.
Yeah.
But instead I decided that I wanted to walk in joy. I wanted to walk in some light. And even when it's hard for us to do and produce because of what's happening around us, and even with us, I know based on the kind of feedback that I've gotten walking through an airport in Orlando, that this is the kind of work that we were meant to be doing at this time. And so I so appreciate that because it's not lost on me, that we need opportunities, some sense.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Some opportunities, some spaces where we can just fucking...
Yeah,
you can
affirmative without being without shouting down people and without telling people not to feel things. You can be thoughtful and affirmative. Yeah,
right. And informative. Right. Yeah. And entertaining. And so that's
all of it.
That's our whole idea. And certainly everything don't slap. not everyone is going to get everything. But certainly our intention in everything is, where is the joy, you know, finding the joy, spreading that. So I so appreciate that. Thank you.
So, well, go ahead, Poodle.
Let's get into what we really brought you here to talk about. The Peacock Show.
Couple to thruple.
That was, I always said that this was the show was come up with a producer. I just see a man in his 60s smoking a cigar, and his daughter comes home from college and goes, thruple. And he's like, thruple, that's a cool word. We're going to make a show about it. And people say, but maybe we make it about non-monogamy. He's like, no, thruple's got to be in the name. I like the word thruple. So that's how I thought this. He flicks his cigar and says, go do it.
Yeah, flicks it and is like, yeah, make it happen. I want to see it in 6 months, right?
Shows get made.
Which is funny, since you're one of the producers of this. So like, that's kind of the first thing is, how did you get involved? Because our sissies, we're more, you know, we do a lot of 90 Day Fiance. That's our big jugger. But they came for us and they're like, you've got to watch this show because it is messy.
Oh, it's messy, baby. It's messy. And you haven't even, I'm going to be honest with you. Tonight is the finale.
I've watched it on Peacock. I won't say spoilers.
I haven't seen the episode yet. But I've seen everything up to then.
Matt, the way that your eyes just lit up, you already know. It's like mess on 1,000, but it's also heart on 1,000, right? Which is why I loved the show, and I loved the idea. I loved, you know, to be honest with you, the reason I got involved with the show, to be straight up, I watched a season of a dating show, kind of destination dating show, that was, the whole house was fluid, right?
Yeah. On MTV?
We loved that season. Yeah,
it was an incredible season, and as far as I'm concerned, it was one of the best seasons of the show, and it for sure was one of the best watches of, like, what happens when these personalities, these identities, these individuals get together in a dating format. And I was like, this is what I feel like I'm missing. And I feel like if I'm missing it, there's got to be someone else out there that is. And so I wrote down on a piece of paper, I want to host a destination dating show format that is inherently queer, and I want it to be the most diverse experience we've ever seen on TV. Like, that was the sentence, right? And you know, I'm a firm believer of, like, you got to see it, you got to hear it, you got to say it, you got to draw it to you, and then you have to be prepared to take, you know, to step into it. And so when I heard that they were developing this idea of what happens when you step outside of the societal norm when you're talking about dating or relationships, and you open up an existing relationship to more people, what happens? I was like, I happen.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I happen. What we're saying is, hello, it's me.
Baby, I've been happening.
You know what I'm saying? How can I be down? And at one point I was like, I will do the after show. I will hold a microphone. I will do the on the fly, the confessional cam interviews. I just want to be a part. I will consult on the show. I just want to be a part of the show. And so when the network leadership at the time came to me and said, hey, we're interested. We've heard that, like, you have a sincere interest in the success of this show. We would like to know if you'd like to host it. I was like, baby, in the words of Kiki Palmer, I will accept this role. I will accept this role. Are you kidding me? I will accept this role. Y'all, I have to tell you, in Access Hollywood, when Akilah and the Bee was filming with Kiki Palmer and Angela Bassett, we were on set, and the question was asked to her, what happened when you got the call? She went through this story of, like, the many, 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 many callbacks. And she said she finally got the call. And they said, we want to know if you'll accept the role as Akilah and Akilah and the Bee. And this little bitty baby, Kiki Palmer, was already an old lady. I just want to let you know, she was already an old black woman at 9 years old. She said, are you kidding me? I will accept this role. Oh, I will accept this role. Are you kidding me? Me? I will accept this role. It was just so funny. To
let me get out of my house clothes and I'll be right there.
Let me find my pocketbook. And baby, I'm going to be on that set. You let me know. So now it's just, it's become a part of my like speech pattern. It's become a part of the way I communicate. So I just need you to understand the backstory of I will accept this role.
I will accept this role.
It was very easy for me.
I forget she was in that. I forget. Yeah. That little girl was in Aquila in the Bee.
We now do ads for her podcast on our podcast.
It's incredible to see her journey, but I've been a longtime fan and friend. And so it is the most natural inclination, the most natural way to describe how ready I was to jump into this scenario. It was the fact that you are breaking outside of a societal norm. You are breaking out of the cishet experience on a dating show. You are also challenging people's ideas about what is acceptable, what is normal, what is available to them as an option or an expression of their relationship. And so when I found out that it was also going to be empowering, meant to be empowering the single person in the experience as well, I was down for that. You know what I mean? And while I don't know that we always necessarily, it's certainly not a perfect show, you know what I mean? But it certainly is, I think, a first step into the right direction when it comes to breaking outside of the, hi, I'm a guy and I'm looking for my wife. Yep. Here are 32 women living in a house ready to be my wife. And so to break outside of that, this I felt like was a really responsible and a really fun and a really heartfelt. I think that was the thing that surprised most people. It's a really heartfelt way of jumping into something else.
Yeah. I think that's a great point, is you could tell the show was being experimental instead of trying to use formats that had been used. Like, it's rewrite. Hi, I'm a guy and I'm going to select one of these 30 women who will kind of fight each other and have fights with me. And basically the grossness of heteronormativity in 2024. And I really liked parts of this where I said, this is doing something new
and different.
And I think people had, I think a lot of that for me, I give a lot of credit to Dr. Howard on the show because
Myra is no joke.
A lot of people have experts on this show. And I'm like, where'd you get them from Central Casting? Where did you get the? But she knows. I loved the challenges. Like the one challenge where the couple had to stand in the middle and they were blindfolded. And they were, because often what we say, we get distracted by the physical appearance. Mm-hmm. And so what we say we want, I mean, this is why Love is Blind is so popular. Y'all took that idea of if they're blindfolded, and then it was surprising to some of them of who was actually the closest person to them and more like. And because Jake and I say all the time on all these dating shows that we cover, if your values aren't aligned, it's not happening. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. And what happens is, if your values aren't aligned, but there's enough chemistry, you will forego every red flag you see in search of, well, I feel this way. I'm reacting this way. So this must be true, right?
Are you describing Jake's dating life right now? Because I think you just did.
Jake, I'm so sorry.
That's humanity, but I was definitely going to say it's me.
You just got read by Scott Evans.
I didn't mean to, baby, but if the shoe fits, you know, sometimes you got to lace it up. You know, you got to lace that motherfucker up and walk it on out. At least it's a cute shoe, you know, make it a cute shoe.
What I got to ask you, the challenge that I think was probably the most, was the kind of the most talked about was the one where the partner was seducing the single.
The
hot seat challenge. And
this was about boundaries. This was about there was a safe word involved. Yeah, all of that.
I still, and it made me so, I had to watch it because it was just right there in front of me. I'm like, this, I can't believe this is happening. I love it.
Now I want you to know that there was a point in this, and I hate to interrupt you, but you have to know this bit of this backstory because no one's asked me about this. So I can't believe, I'm so glad that we're able to talk about it. So we, and Matt, you're watching it and I know the word you were looking for was cringe. Because I know you're like, I can't stop watching it, but I'm so uncomfortable. Yes. Right? You're like, oh my God, somebody please walk in this room so I can look away.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you put your feet, I call it where you put your feet up off the floor. You've got to like get in fetal to watch it.
Yeah, yes. So this was our first challenge. This is like the first real situation where these individuals are all connecting on camera with a ton of cameras around and encouraged to be, I think, as authentic as they can be, but also realizing that we're all fish out of water in this scenario. So imagine you're watching this, right? On your TV screen or on your iPad or your device, wherever you're comfortable. Dr. Shamira and I are standing at one point 5 feet away from this. And I was making eye contact with the person sitting in not the hot seat, but the other partner
Worst seat. Yeah.
Right. The worst seat. And I was like, I said to Dr. Shamira, I said, we are too close, girl. We are standing too close to these people. We need to move. And production was like, no. And I was like, no. We're going to stand over there because imagine like someone, you know, when you're like out and like, maybe, I don't know, you're waiting for your Uber or you're waiting for, you know, that you're waiting for your table to get ready. And there's a couple standing right next to you and they're in hardcore makeout mode.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Like you automatically start making these assumptions like this is an affair. Mm-hmm. They haven't seen each other in a long time and they finally got back together and they don't give a damn who is around. Like, it's that kind of like animal kind of like Matt. But you, by the way, are standing feet away from them like, this is super awkward.
But you also kind of want to watch because you're like, it's kind of.
Yeah.
Right.
Tingly, right. You know,
but I want to watch from a safer distance.
Yes. Yes.
So that if when they come up for air and they happen to look, I'm not like. Oh God.
And poor,
I never seen that move before. I don't want to be like that.
Or you don't want Ramon
out.
Yeah, you don't want Ramon. Go ahead, what, Jake?
I said, let me get my notes app on my phone out and take some notes.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So dashing.
Or when Ramon breathes fire, you don't want to be there when he is breathing. God. Ramon. Oh, that messy. Oh, bless her.
You gotta love her though, because she's gonna be exactly the thing about him is that he is exactly who he is, and he's not making really any qualm about it. And I think that this process, I'm sure, he's been able to reflect on a lot of the things he thought he was communicating, mm-hmm. and ways he thought he was communicating, and the perception of his communication. And I don't know that he is I can't imagine he's not the type of person that can see this and be like, okay, here's some spaces where I can grow. Here's some spaces where I can be better. I think that was an experience that all of the individuals that participated in Couple to Thruple really had. I know I even had it as a person who was kind of hosting this experience. I certainly had moments where I was like, I wish I would have said more on this. I wish I would have asked this question because I think it would have maybe fast forwarded some internal dialogue that maybe would have been more fruitful for them. But I mean, this experience was just so cool because like you said, Jake, I've just never seen anything like this on television. And I knew when we were capturing it down in Panama, I knew that we were onto something really special, really cool. And I know that when we announced the show, people had so many thoughts about it, what it was going to be, what it wasn't going to be. And what I kept saying was just give it a try. Even if you hated the trailer, if you were like, this is some old bullshit, it's nasty, and I can't believe you're about to put this on Peacock. Well, you know what I mean? I just wanted people to watch it because I knew that they were going to be, their minds were going to change in some way.
There are a lot of shock reality shows out there that are just wild. And I think the trailer did hint at that. But as soon as you started watching it, you would go, there's a lot deeper stuff working here.
Yeah.
Can we talk about just as far as the couples who were there? Mm-hmm. And if you feel comfortable in just giving your opinions, who do you think was the most ready for the experiment? You know, who had come in there where there was enough of a foundation with to be ready for the experiment?
Yeah, you said actually on Dates and Mates, we're friends with Damona, and you said, I listened to that interview. It's great, everybody. But you said the relationship has to be solidified for two people before they invite someone in. So yeah, kind of following.
And I mean that regardless. I think that, you know, even if you're at home and you're listening to this and you're interested in not necessarily even having entering a throuple kind of dynamic, which is in fact one of the hardest polycules or the hardest configurations of a relationship that there is.
Totally agree.
To make work. Like, it is very difficult to make a throuple successful, right?
Jake has tried it and he has failed several times.
To be clear, it's very different. When people started watching this show, they were immediately thinking, oh, this is just about
threesomes,
ethical non-monogamy, mm-hmm. and open relationships where a couple would have really open relationships with all different kinds of people. I'm like, no, this is actually creating an equal third where everyone feels equitable.
Which is very difficult to do when you have an established relationship and you have a third person coming into the dynamic of, you know what I mean? Whatever that scenario was, it's especially if the foundation of that relationship is solid, yeah. It can be very intimidating for a third person to come in and try to catch up, so to speak. Right.
Totally.
It was very difficult. I think it is very difficult. Even the poly community has thoughts about, you know, the throuple dynamic being a part of polyamory, because it is essentially the view is that it is monogamy plus one,
right?
And so,
yeah.
But we thought also what better way to kind of tiptoe into this experience or dip our toe into this world, into this real viable community and experience for one's relationship, a dynamic for one's relationship, then, you know, inviting one person into your situation. I'll say that there were, going into the situation, going into the filming of the show, mm-hmm. I thought that our married couple, Dylan and Lauren, had one of the most beautiful relationships. They mm-hmm. seemed to be super, super on the same page. They seemed to be very aware of what the one was into and what the other was into and what one may not be into, yeah. Right? And even signaling to each other very clearly when that changed, what they were willing to accept
and misreads. Like, I honestly thought I liked them, and I thought, I feel like they're here, especially based off their first interaction, they're here just for the sex of it. And then when they got with Jess, the journey of, oh, cross signals. I said affection. I meant touching. I didn't mean sex. And that they had to talk this out. And then kind of the journey as a couple. I thought that was a great example.
But Matt, I'm going to be honest with you. I do think that they came in for the physical expression of a relationship. I do think that that is a way that people relate. And I do think that mm-hmm. is a way people figure out compatibility or chemistry, right? And I think that I don't think they were wrong in that. I think the thing that they had to come to terms with was, how do we communicate that?
Exactly.
And how does that, not expectation, but that desire, how does that desire affect another person? And how do we factor in just as equally another person's interest, another person's intention in joining our relationship? And I think that where they thought maybe, okay, we can jump into this physical experience because everybody's game, everybody's down. And then we can do the, if that goes well, we can do the, okay, where are we emotionally? Where are we compatibility wise? You know what I mean? And I think that the beautiful thing about their experience on the show is that they were confronted with the idea that you got to slow down. They were confronted with the idea, with the concept that, like, if you want this to be successful in long term, you got to kind of approach it the same way Dylan did when he was courting Lauren before they started dating. You know, he went very slow with her, to the point where at one point Lauren was like, are you gay? Like, are you into me or what? And he was like, nah, girl, I'm I mean, if you're trying to fuck, I'm trying to fuck this. Like, let's get to the fucking, like, let's do that, right?
Let's get to it.
And so they have a really solid relationship. And so that can be very difficult for, I think, another partner to join. But I think that the journey that they had, I think, mirrors a lot of people's experience when it comes to polyamory and when it comes to creating a triad, not necessarily open relationships, but certainly a more focused, more emotionally substantial exchange between three people. But I will also say Corey and Wilder, while Corey was like, Scott, safe word, Scott.
No. Yes, I was like, bitch is not ready for this. She is.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender.
Uh-oh, y'all. Poodle is singing seductive songs. That must mean we're about to go out on tour again. Ugh, sissy husbands, beware.
Whatever Poodle wants, Poodle gets. Well, you're right about one thing, Maddie. We are going out on tour, but that's not the only reason I'm positively randy. I have spring fever.
Is that something that a trip to the clinic or an antibiotic can fix?
Afraid not. When Piano Cat senses the weather getting warmer, she knows it's time to jettison those jackets and sweaters for items that show a little more skin.
Well, I hate to tell you, Poods, but you still have to cover up a little with those tour costumes. In Chicago, you were actually cited for obscenity.
Fascists! I will wear what I want and no one can stop Poodle Boudreaux!
They said next time it would be $1,000 fine.
Maybe I could cover up a little bit. Leave something to the men's imaginations, but I don't want to wear too much. You know how I get hot.
Well, Piano Cat, I think it's your lucky day. Have you seen the new spring stuff at Quince? They have all the seasonal must-haves, like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow knit activewear.
Ooh, I love those Quince performance polos. They're so soft and sumptuous, and they cut my body in all the right places. They're also great for when my daddy and I do country club tennis role play. Mixed doubles indeed.
Wow. As I was saying, with Quince, you can say goodbye to wasting money on clothes that it would only last one season. They've got high-quality pieces that never go out of style that you'll be wearing year after year. I love my blue cashmere hoodie. It's perfect for warm spring days and cool spring nights.
And people can't stop complimenting me on my leather cafe racer jacket that I've been wearing on our live shows. It's super chic and fitted and perfect for keeping me warm in those drafty northeastern backstage areas.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes.
I love that. But Maddie, I don't think that Quince has cured my spring fever. It's only made it worse. Bring on the men.
Yike. Sissies, upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/realitygaze for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/realitygaze to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/realitygaze. Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist? About me.
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Manny, this reminds me, you know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline.
Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC.
For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching.
There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring.
Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
Not ready for this.
What she wasn't ready for was to be left out.
Yep.
And that is a really big, a really key component of what it means to make a relationship work. And the thing that I loved about having them on the show was that your expression of poly, your experience in poly, your experience in an open relationship is not going to be the same as another person, even in your dynamic, but certainly not the same outside of your relationship, right? And so you are poly, or because you are in an open relationship, doesn't mean that you're just like, cool, everything's game, let's do it. You do you and I'm gonna do me. She had a real, I think, authentic reaction to like, I don't want to be left out of the dynamic, and I don't want to be the voyeur. I want to be perhaps the hinge. I want to be in the center.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
You know what I mean? And I respected her for that. And to be honest, the thing that I think that Corey did very well was that she was very vocal.
Yep.
She was very communicative. And some people, you know, I've seen in comments and things like that who are annoyed with like her ability to in the moment be like, okay, this is making me uncomfortable. Who doesn't want a partner who, instead of ramaning in a scenario, who doesn't want a partner that's like, hey, I'm not going to hold this against you. I'm not trying to like hold a grudge or ruin the moment, but I am going to be honest and open with my feelings about this. This part isn't feeling great. And I feel like you missed the verbal cue because you wanted to be in this thing, but I'm feeling a little withdrawn and I'm feeling a little on the outside. How can we switch it up?
Yeah. I think that's totally, I would much prefer the Corey style instead of the Roman style.
Yeah.
Resentfulness and leaving the table and going back to somewhere else. When I would see Ashmal and Roman's interactions, I'm like, okay, this dynamic is played out at Mickey's during brunch every single time. Someone leaves the table and someone goes and follows them crying. Yeah.
But Jake, that again, like this is the part that, you know how they people talk about all the time, like reality shows are so contrived, it's so controlled, it's so this, it's so that, it's so not real. Like this is the shit that we expect to see. And this is also like the shit that we'd like, you, the things that you would, the everything that happened in this show, you're like, yep, that's how that would go. That's about how I expected that to go. You know what I mean? And so even I'll tell you this, there was a really cool moment between Sean and Roman. Roman had kind of withdrawn and was like,
that.
Out. You know what I mean? Y'all gonna have to come get me because I'm over stimulated and I'm over the scenario. And Sean went and found him and was like, I don't know if you know this, but you're in a relationship dynamic where a man has come to you and said, this individual has come to you and said, hey, like, what's wrong? Can I fix it? Can we work on it? And you're removing yourself is not communicating the thing I think you think it's communicating.
Yeah.
And instead, it's actually alienating not just your partner, but everyone else in this house. It's not just you removing yourself. And I think you want to rethink how you are moving.
That was a beautiful moment.
And I think John was the best person to say that because he had been he handles Brittany. He has to, which the force of nature that is Brittany. And that couple was so interesting because we were watching and I'm like, oh. Is this because she's unhappy in the relationship or is he into this? And I feel like they were trying to figure out what they wanted to be.
Yeah.
And it was very existential for this couple. Like they were trying to figure out how to proceed.
Jake, and I don't think they'd have a problem with me sharing this with you. They were at a crossroads in their relationship, not in that, are we doing this or are we not doing this? Because they were in they are best friends.
Totally.
Do you know what I mean?
And yeah, you can see
friends
that.
As best friends can be. But they had experienced some things very early in their relationship, loss very early in their relationship. I don't think that Brittany would have a problem with me saying this, but Brittany lost her mother, who was her best friend, her ultimate confidant. I mean, like if you can imagine a tighter mother-daughter relationship, I don't know that one exists, right?
Mm-hmm.
In concept and in theory. They started dating, they started hanging out, realizing that many of their friends were in common and just had a really great time hanging out with one another. And then realized very quickly, no, I have some strong feelings towards you. And then Brittany's mother got very, very sick. And Sean was there to support Brittany, was there to provide care for Brittany. And then her mother passed. And Brittany went into what any person would go through in that scenario, which is extreme, significant grief, not extreme. Yeah. But significant grief. And Sean was there for her. Yeah. And their relationship, while it at its height of like cute and funny and fun and interesting, took this very sharp turn into which Sean became Brittany's caregiver. And that so
makes sense.
Right? And so
it really does.
And then COVID.
Lockdown
happens.
Yeah, that's Roman and Ashmal. They're a COVID couple, you know that,
right? Lockdown happens, and so they needed, with how they've communicated to me. This is not an assumption of mine. They wanted to do the show. They were interested in this experiment for their relationship because they had lost some of the ability to relate to each other physically. They had it become more awkward to initiate. It become more, you know what I mean? When you move from a caregiver, it's hard to move back into necessarily lover.
I've been there. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so instead of focusing on how do I please you? How do you please me? How do I make you feel this thing or get you to make this sound again? They use this opportunity to focus on someone else.
Yeah.
And we can all kind of like the newness of a new relationship, the newness of a new connection. We can all kind of relate with how that would feel kind of like, ooh, this is, oh. And it reignited the way that they interact with one another. It was just really fucking cool, to be honest with you. And the person that they,
But can I just say, I think it makes sense, though, in saying that, because now, sorry, my brain's going, but yeah. With Sanu was someone who came in with, she had knowledge, she had done this before, her parents, but it now makes sense, because I feel like Brittany's connecting with her, but there's something going on, and I see as someone who's done caretaking, too, Brittany was... Sanu brought in caretaker energy, and that probably triggered the fuck out of her. And she was like, I can't deal with this. And so it makes sense why they switch that, you know, Darian is such a different energy, and almost more childlike or youthful. And
she is much more patient.
Yeah.
And she is, jovial is my way of describing her, right? She is very playful. She is very, and wants to play with everybody. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that it sounds, but she is down
to
experience life in its absolute fullest and means to be as communicative about that as possible. You know what I mean? Which was really beautiful.
And Brittany coming out as bisexual. I thought that is such a great.
You know, the arc to follow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The question was, you know, what couple did I think was the most prepared for this? I don't think that you really can be prepared necessarily for this. Okay.
So which couple do you think the least prepared?
I mean, I think that we all agree that Ashmal and Rahman, I think, were the least prepared for what would happen if they were not willing to break outside of the normal way they communicated. I think that in open relationships and even like the search for kind of like threesomes and hookups, that has its own level of communicating that you have to do. It has its own pitfalls and beautiful experiences, right?
JV,
but when you're talking about, say that again?
JV league compared to this. This is a different level. Yeah.
It's a different level. And like hookups leave.
Exactly.
The best ones do anyway. Right?
God bless they do. Thank you. Or hopefully before I'm even up.
You know, that means you got to go to sleep. And the best hookups leave before I can brush my teeth and be like, you know what I mean?
But I'm saying,
we all know what it is.
Huh. I mean, Scott, you're talking, not me, but Jake. Jake is that person, whereas he says, well, I keep dating men, but then their husbands just fall in love with me. It's not my fault. So he's that Jonathan. He's that bitch that's going to come in and stir shit up.
I mean, didn't he, though? And really, and I think a lot of, and the best ways, I think Jonathan, you know, was really just kind of fumbling through this experience, trying to be like, like this, I don't like this. I think I'm into this, I don't like you. What did you say? Did you say you like me? Well, I don't know if I like you back. You know, ooh,
squirrel.
What's this? Yeah, exactly, you know? Again, I so loved, because he's, in some ways, he's all of us. You know what I mean? You said, I can date whoever I want. Bet, I'm dating them all. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, you know, I think that the Ashmal and Rahman were the ones who were confronted very early on with that, like, if you and I cannot communicate, if you and I can't find out a way to be not even necessarily on the same page, but to be clear with one another, then we can't be successful in this. We can't make this work, certainly. And we certainly can't make this work bringing another person in yes. who's just as kind of all over the place when it comes to communicating what they mean to communicate right. and what they actually are communicating.
So, Scott, just we could talk to you forever. But
forever.
Just, I could do this all day.
Give me a dirty margarita or dirty martini and girl, I'm there.
I was going to say, I'll take a dirty margarita shit at this point.
I just want to talk about the show was something I've never seen before, but I want to talk about something even more important. And that is the movie Ladies of the 80s.
Oh, yes.
We covered that movie with Scott.
Oh,
we did a four part deep dive with another.
No, Bravo. You did not.
Yes. With Watch What Crappens. We do Bravo. And we dissected every single detail of that film. And what
was it your greatest acting experience of your life?
I will be honest with you. It was one of the most fun experiences I have ever had.
Love to hear that.
It really cemented for me this desire to do more acting. It really cemented for me this interest, this curiosity of performing for film, performing yeah. for TV, for in this way. I will tell you, I had like an out of body experience because I very quickly recognized that like. I do not deserve to be here. I don't know why I am here. I don't know why y'all chose me. I really, the script was originally written for the character's name. My character's name was Tommy Hernandez. Who you think they had in mind to play? Oh, and the description was the leading entertainment show host, Hunk Extraordinaire
with dimples.
I mean, for the record, I think you're prettier than Mario, but whatever.
Get out of here. I'll take it. But you and I both know there are millions of people who, when reading that character description, mm-hmm. is like, oh, Mario Lopez about to be Tommy Hernandez. Of course. So then I show up to set and I was like, so we still gonna keep this Tommy Hernandez or? Or what y'all think? And they were like, nah, you're Tommy Johnson now. I was like, I'll roll with it. I'll accept this role.
I love that.
Anyway, we also know you have your own production company.
Yeah, we want to shout that out. Yes. Summer Break.
Summer Break.
What are you guys interested in doing?
Idea with Summer Break really started out of this real desire for helping to tell stories that we thought mattered, right? Stories richer in texture than we see on a lot of the networks. Stories that had, that were telling stories that we'd never heard before, that were capturing moments in history, people who are changing the world that we're living in ways that we haven't seen before. You know, like I was moving through this job that I'm in at Access Hollywood, this role that I'm in at Access Hollywood, and even greater at the network. And I was like, what do you really want to be doing? What do you really believe yourself to be here for? And it was like, I want to help tell stories that help us be better, right? That help us clue into like, oh, snap.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This has been my dream, or I've been denying myself in this way, or I didn't even know this thing existed. This is a career path. You know what I mean? I wanted to be grounded in a different kind of reality, because entertainment news can have you feeling and thinking all kinds of crazy things, right? prioritizing things in crazy, crazy ways. Hard news, which was my background before even entertainment, and have you thinking crazy, crazy things. And I was just like, how do you use your skill and your purpose and your personality? How do you bring that all into to alignment with work? And so—
And your soul.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Like that real purpose, real meaningful work. And so, you know, the idea was that, like, how do we also, like, encourage these brands who have money that they need to spend, that they have to spend, to help tell the stories that more and more of us want more and more of. And so we're, you know, we're developing right now the late night show. You know, I said to Jimmy Fallon in an elevator once, I just want you to know I'm coming for your job. And I don't mean that to say, like, I want to take your job from you, because that's not the space or the world I live in. But I am certainly preparing myself to step into the shoes that you will one day leave.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I just want you to know that when you hear my name, we're not talking about Captain America's brother. It's me.
It's a great way to go out.
It's me.
It's me.
Not Captain America's brother.
No.
Breaking news now here. Well,
Captain America's brother. That's your People magazine.
Right? Wait, there's someone listening to this right now who hasn't watched they're just listening to the podcast, who is like, hold on a second. All this time I thought I was, well, who the hell are they talking to if it ain't?
I mean, somebody. I think you're way more famous than Captain America's brother, actually.
No, not at all. What I'm telling you is that somebody right now, Shirley, I'm talking to you. It's me, baby. It's me.
We call them Carl's wives that are a little slow in the uptake, because they're going, Carl, I think that's the
wrong Scottishans on this show. No, Scott, I didn't know Captain America's brother was black.
Right, that part. Oh my goodness, he and I have some of the funniest stories about the mistaken identity, the mistaken situation, and to the point where we are thinking about putting together a little
of that,
maybe a limited run podcast about our stories and other celeb stories who have this kind of like, nope, it's the one who's standing in front of you. Regina King. I'm Regina Hall. I'm
here. Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know a gay Matt Maher who was on So You Can Think You Can Dance Canada, and he lives in LA now because our Actors Access things got confused one day. And I saw him in a bar, and he was so weird. I was like, hey, you're Matt Maher, right? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, I'm Matt Maher too. And like, we're both queer. And he was so just like, he had never thought of that concept before. I was like, so I love that idea.
Yes, thank you. Anyway. So yeah, we're working on something like that. It's going to be, you know, at the at this point in my life, it is really about like, how do you point more and more and more of what you're doing professionally, that it feels like you're on a summer break, that it feels like you are on.
We're right there with you.
You know, like I'm
the fun.
Yeah. Like I just have grown so tired of the idea that we have to trudge through life, that everything's got to be shitty and difficult and hard and ugly. And while, of course, life will throw us those moments, I'm not into the idea of creating them myself. I'm certainly not into the idea of forcing myself into those scenarios, calling it my day to day. That ain't it.
If you're having fun, so everyone else will be.
That's if you look at my Instagram, you will see that is the through line.
Where can we find all things Scott Evans?
Listen, I am Scott Evans on almost every platform there is. You can certainly find me there. And I also want to say, like, if you have an idea, if you have a story, if you have a concept or something like that, you're like, I think that this would be really great. Please don't ever hesitate to reach out. I so love the idea of collaborating. I so love the spirit of collaborating. So please reach out. You can use my website, iamscottevans.com. And there is literally a, hey, Scott, kind of tab, you know what I mean? So you can send me a message and we can get it cracking. But I just feel like now is the time more than ever to be doing the kind of thing, the thing that you dreamed of. There is no reason to wait. I don't know why I feel led to share this, but like if you are listening to this and you have this dream on you or this idea in you or this desire in you and you have been waiting for the sign or the signal to get after it, please use the, baby, I'm talking to you. It is your time. You cannot wait. We are going to be better for the work that you are going to create. Get out here and get after it. You will be surprised by after the first step you take on your own, how things rise to meet that effort, that intention, that truth. We cannot wait for it. Get to it. We need you.
Well, I'm inspired.
From Captain America's brother's mouth to God's ears. Thank you so much for spending time with us. We
so much, Scott.
Appreciate you very really much. And we want season two. We want season two.
That, will you let Peacock know? I need you. Well, listen, if y'all listening to this, please get on Peacock's Instagram and be like, can we get the announcement for season two, please? And if you're a couple right now and you're like, can we get on the show? There you go.
Two. Mr. Peacock, who do I speak to? The president of Peacock.
There it is.
Yes, get those couples on there. We know you're very busy. You've got to go interview, I don't know, Celine Dion or Denzel, somebody.
Kendall Jenner has a new boyfriend. Go.
Yeah, an entertainment emergency.
Phone is beeping.
Entertainment emergency. Wait, speaking of, I promise I'm going to let you go after this, but one of the greatest phrases that came out of this show, I have never heard it before. Perhaps I imagine that it is real. Maximo and Ash with Queer Panic. It is real. I am just so glad.
That is that could be a subtitle of our show. Just Queer Panic.
Queer Panic. Yeah. Entertainment Emergency and Queer Panic. Baby.
Yes. Thank you so much, Scott.
Thank y'all so much. I do appreciate it. This was lovely.
You were lovely. Thank you, Sugar.